Well, good morning, ladies. I commend you. Those of you that came for four sessions on the weekend and you had a couple of days off, sort of, and now you're back again. Thank you for coming. It was a wonderful women's conference. If you didn't get a chance to be here, I'm sure that those studies are going to be on the Titus Tuzzi website at some point, so make sure you look those up. As Janice mentioned 2 weeks ago, we're beginning a new study today. I meant to bring a copy of the book. Do any of you teachers have it here? Okay. The book that we're looking at is called God is More Than Enough. It's by Jim Berg. I think we're all looking forward and getting into that. Over a year ago, we began to look at the way God has designed us from the beginning. We are the only part of God's creation that have souls. We're unique. Those souls mean that we are eternal. We have emotions, we have wills. We have the opportunity to make choices and plans. So looking back in 2018-19, we studied many of the emotions that we have, and those are an important part of our being. Then we looked at the character of God, how he's all-seeing, he's all-knowing, he's sovereign, and in the midst of his sovereignty, he's a gracious God, and he's wise. Can you imagine a sovereign God who's a nasty bureaucrat? That isn't God. This year we've been reminded over and over that that God can be trusted. And then this past weekend, the teachers wrapped that all up into exposing us to God's amazing, magnificent grace. And what a good weekend it was. So with all of that behind us, you might wonder, along with me, should there be any question in our mind whether God is enough? We've heard all this. But we're dust. We're like a vapor in the wind. God is gracious, and he understands us. Have you ever gone out to a pond or a lake, taken a stone, thrown it in the water, it plunks down? That's not all that happens. From that one little initial plunk in the water, you get these concentric circles that build all the way around, the little waves that go out. And these waves, we're going to think of that initial plunk as our initial thought that happens in our lives. And then all those waves and circles are the feelings and the additional thoughts that come as a result of that original thought. So as we do this study that we're now starting, we're going to be looking at what the author calls the noise in our souls. And that noise all comes from those original thoughts that we have and then everything that builds out from that. Proverbs 23:7 says, as he thinks within himself, so he is. So we often say what you see is what you get. Well, I think what you think is what you get. All of us, believers and unbelievers alike, have a desire for peace in our souls. You have the verse there from Matthew 11 that says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, in this verse, the translators use the word rest, but they could have used the word peace. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you peace. Now, ladies, every one of us in this room has started from the same original place. God says in Isaiah 48:22, there is no peace for the wicked. So every one of us in our lives has at one point had no peace. When I was 5, I didn't have peace in my life. The Bible says there's no one who does right, not even one. And our wickedness can have only one result, and that's God's judgment. God's judgment, which the Bible says, is separation from God forever. Now, not only does that mean that someday we can't go to heaven, it means we're not going to have peace in this life. And it doesn't mean, well, I can't go to heaven, but I'll just kind of be nothing after I die. No. It's going to heaven, or going to where what God calls is the lake of fire. I was visiting with a neighbor one time, and we were talking about some of this, and she said, "Lavon, I don't sin." And she continued, and she said, I make mistakes sometimes, but I do not sin. I don't choose to sin. Well, turn with me to 1 John, and we're going to look at some verses there. I'm going to read in the first chapter, 1 John 1:8. In 1 John 1:8 it says, "If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Okay, once again, what's the opposite? If we don't have truth, then we're liars. And Revelation 21:8 says, "But for the cowardly and unbelieving," and then it mentions a lot of others, but then it says, "and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone." So, all those who are unbelieving and liars are headed to hell. Yes. And no. God says our sin can be forgiven and taken away, because God sent his very own son, who had been eternally in heaven with him, sent him to earth as a human being. And that son, Jesus Christ, grew up and willingly chose to go to the cross and die a cruel death to pay a penalty that every one of you and I deserve. I love just the picture in my own mind as I see God the Father over here, and I'm over here, and God sees my sin. He can't look at it. He can't accept me into heaven. But Jesus Christ comes in between as the mediator, and he covers up my sin. And God the Father sees me through Jesus Christ, and Christ says, "Lavon is forgiven." And that very same thing can happen for every one of you. Well, how do we know that it wasn't just some guy that went and died on a cross? There were other people that died on crosses in those years. But there was a difference with Jesus Christ. 3 days later, and the Bible says this is the proof of who he was. 3 days later, he rose from the grave. Many people saw him. He did miracles. He was on the earth for at least 40 days after that, before he went to heaven. You know, only a sinless person can take our place. And Jesus Christ was that sinless person that died for our sin. Now, the scriptures say that all unbelieving are headed for hell. Well, what do we have to believe? Just what you've heard. We have to humbly agree with God that we're wicked and that God is just in judging our sin. We have to understand that Christ paid the penalty for our sin on the cross, and he rose again to show us that he had power over the devil. You know, before we're saved, the devil's the one that enslaves us. He tells us what to do. But once Jesus Christ has come into our lives, Christ is our power. And we have the power to obey him. And now our desire is to be obedient to him. Look at Isaiah 53:5, and I think I have that on your outline. There are four things it says there that Christ did for us. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being, that would be our peace. The chastening for our peace fell upon him. And by his scourging, we are healed. And here's what describes us. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. Stop for a minute, ladies, and think. Did you go your own way? Are you going your own way right now? Are you still saying, I'm in charge? There is no peace for those who have not been forgiven by God. Now, we'll go back to our verse. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. And when Jesus was teaching this, he had the Pharisees around him. I think his disciples were probably there. And I'm sure there was a crowd because he had been healing people and they were constantly coming to him wanting to be healed and wanted to hear the words that he had to say. The Pharisees had been continually telling the people, these are all the things that you have to do to be right with God. Not only did they have the Old Testament law, but they had added all kinds of things. I think there was some kind of law about how many steps you could take on the Sabbath. Can you imagine counting your steps? And what do you do when you get too far? That would be a burden. Gotta stop right now till tomorrow. And Jesus is looking at these people that are burdened down with all these laws, and he says, come to me, all you who labor. Labor means to worry and be beaten out. Now, young moms, are there ever any days where you're beaten out, you're really weary? Well, it's not just you. We do the same thing, only we're there by about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. When you're feeling this way, do you come to Jesus? He says, come to me. Heavy laden means to be burdened down, like a ship with cargo. Just think about our coastal areas where the big ships come in and they've got all these big boxes of cargo on them. Every ship is calibrated as to how much weight can be put on it. And I don't know if you've seen pictures of this, but sometimes I look at that ship and I think, whoo, I'm glad they didn't put one more on there. They'd be down in the water. But that's the way we're laden down. And sometimes we just feel like we have a little bit too much pressure that's put onto us. We feel like we're about to go under. And Jesus says, come to me. David was feeling this way in Psalm 40. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. So, ladies, when you come to God, remember, he hears your cry. He does hear you. And then David says, he brought me out of a horrible pit, and that literally means a pit of noise. And that's what our lessons are going to be talking about in the next few weeks, is that pit of noise and what God provides for us to get out of that pit. Well, we're going to take a few minutes to inventory what that pit of noise might be. We've talked about many of these things, but I'm just going to review them a little bit. Anxiety and fear. What if? What if you fill in the space? What if my children? What if this nation? What if the weather? What if the coronavirus? Let's say it right. Anxiety and fear thrive on the need to be in control. Discouragement and despair. There is just no hope. I'm always failing. This doesn't happen to anybody else but me. What about anger and frustration? They shouldn't have done that to me. They never learn if they had just listened to me. Have you ever said that? Anger rises when someone hurts us, embarrasses us, or puts us in a vulnerable position. Bitterness and hatred. Bitterness comes when you keep track of those times when people do things to you. We might say, I've poured my life into this person, into this job, this situation. See where it gets me? It's not fair. Bitterness thrives on keeping an account of repeated offenses. Then there's lust and greed. These might be thoughts of illicit pleasure, covetous thoughts, a desire for what someone else has, a beautiful home, their loving husband, prominence in the world, or at church. Why do they have it so easy and I have to struggle? Greed grows as we fail to cultivate thankfulness. Well, there's guilt and shame. If you're still in 1 John, I want to talk about guilt a little bit more extensive. You know, this is an emotion that God has given us that can be positive for us. God weighs our conscience down with great burden when we sin. This is the noise in our soul that we should listen to. But the wonderful thing is, it doesn't have to last long because God has immediate relief for us. Let's look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. This is what happens at a point of salvation. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a beautiful thought. That guilt that's weighing on us because of our sin. God forgives us, takes it away, as far as the east is from the west. Now, do we still sin? Yes, we do. And I know personally that there are times when I sin as a believer and I just feel a little separated from God. God has not walked away from me, but I feel a little separated. I feel like I don't feel like praying or I don't feel like reading God's word. And that's where I love then to read in chapter 2, verse 1. And I'm just going to read the second half of the verse. It says, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Once again, it's that picture of I'm here, God's here, Jesus Christ is my advocate. I'm saying, yes, this is the person that I died for. Her sin is taken away. All the past sins that when she did, when she was 5, when she was 22, when she was 42, and the sins that she's going to do when she's 76, I died for all of those, and they're already forgiven. What a beautiful position to be in front of God the Father. And hopefully our response is that we say, Lord, I'm so thankful for that. And I want to learn from this and I want to proceed on in my life and obey you and respond in a proper way. Now, there is a guilt that we need to be careful of, and this is the guilt that comes from Satan himself. Satan is the great accuser. And there are times when I think some of you mothers can relate. We look back to our past and we go, I was not the greatest mother in the world. I remember when. And you moms that are in the middle of it right now, you get to the end of the day and you say, oh, I was not a good mom today. And Satan just wants to pound that in and just make us feel discouraged, defeated. And that's when Jesus says, come to me. I'll hear your cry. I'll take your burden away. That's where we need to go, is to Christ and just recognize his forgiveness. Okay, we'll go on to responsibilities and positions. This is the cargo that comes from the things we feel we have to do. It's our to-do lists, our I have this job, but I want a better job. I got to get to this position, or I need a better house, or I just got a lot of things to do and I have to get them all done today. Then we have obsessions and addictions. We immediately begin to think of drugs and alcohol, and yes, those are bad. But there are a lot of other addictions that we can have. It might be addictions to shopping, to reading too many books, to having a desire to always be recreating or having certain expectations that we think our husband should, this is what he should do. We make all kinds of plans that we think are important. And when we get in the middle of these addictions, then to hide it, we begin to hide it or rationalize it and say, well, it's okay. It's this other person does this, so it's okay if I do this. That's sin against God. Then the last one that I want to mention is entertainment and recreation. How do we relax at the end of a strenuous day? Do we fill our minds with more noise? Do we replay scenes of what happened during the day, or maybe scenes of what we read in a book or we saw in a movie? Do we just have distractions that take us away from our thoughts that should be of God? Jim Berg said, if we've had a difficult day, rather than fill our mind with more noise, it would be better if we sat down and quietly said, God, why was this day so joyless for me? This isn't a time to fill our minds with more noise. It's the time to reflect and say, God, what's so wrong with my heart that I missed what you're trying to do in my life today? John 14:27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Don't let your heart be troubled, and don't let it be fearful. So instead of filling our minds with distractions and possessions, God wants us to be at rest in Him. Well, what are the dangers of the noise in our soul? We're going to be developing this more in the next couple of weeks, but I'll just briefly mention two. Our heart affects our body. It does make a difference what we concentrate on in our mind. And the noise in our soul causes us to lose our Godward gaze. We're busy trying to save ourselves, and we don't seek God's direction. This makes us really ineffective because we're trying really hard to do what God wants to do. Well, what is God's cure for the noise in our soul? Come to me. Come to me. Gil spent quite a bit of time Sunday evening talking about abiding in Christ. And this is the position that we have when we are a Christian. We abide in Christ. And the picture in the scripture is of a tree. And we're the branches. We get our sustenance from the root, which is Jesus Christ. And because of being in Christ, we can produce fruit. Wonderful fruit. So first we need to come to Jesus. We need to be a part of His body. We need to believe in Him. And then the part that we learn through our lives is that willingness to be governed by Him. It's so easy as a believer to just still have our agenda for the day, our agenda for our lives. We just want to be in charge. And we need to learn to let Jesus Christ be in control. Elizabeth spent some time in the study that she taught this weekend on talking about pride. And there were some verbs in the chapter that I read that I thought, wow, this describes pride. Here's pride. Pride whines and pouts. Pride shouts and demands. Pride argues and debates. Pride screams and retaliates. Pride shifts blame and points fingers. Pride lusts and indulges. Pride manipulates and schemes. Pride drives and obsesses. Pride worries and frets. If I read that list, can I say that I have no sin? No. I fit in many of those. Well, Christ gave us this promise, Matthew 11:28, and I'm just going to take what the author did. He did kind of an opposite look at that verse. And you've got it on your sheet. I'll just read it. Avoid me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will deny you rest. Refuse my yoke of guidance. Refuse to learn what I am like in order to become like me. And you will find noise in your soul. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 30. This is an example of what Israel did. It's kind of a picture of choosing to not follow what God wants. Isaiah 30. And obviously this is written to Israel, but I read this and I thought, this is so much like us. Verse 15, for the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said, in repentance and rest you shall be saved. We repent, we turn our lives over to Jesus Christ. Salvation is there. In quietness and trust is your strength. That's our abiding in Him. That's where we get power. This is what God offers. But you were not willing. And you said, no, we're going to flee on our horses. Therefore, you will flee. We will ride on swift horses. Therefore, those who pursue you will be swift. Then go to verse 18. This is what God offers. Therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He waits on high to have compassion to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are those who long for Him. Ladies, this is what Jesus is offering to us. He longs to be compassionate to you. Yes, His righteous judgment is there, but His desire is to reach you, to give you peace with God and peace in your daily life. My family accuses me of finding a spiritual application in everything. They get a little tired of it sometimes. So I have a visual, which we're going to see if we can put up. Is it going to work, Janice? I don't even know if you can even tell what this is. This is my backup mirror in my car. Okay. So one day I was backing out of my driveway, and no, I did not have a vision from the Lord, but I looked in my mirror, and I think I was working on this lesson, and I just started thinking, well, first of all, I thought, this is so cool that I have this, because I can tell where I'm going. And I looked at that picture, and I thought, I'm looking back. Oh, yeah, I'm looking back, but I'm seeing where I'm going. That's a little confusing. But I'm also seeing where I am. Right? Do you see it all? Okay, I'm seeing three things. I'm looking, sort of looking back, but I'm seeing this is right where I am. I've got these parameters around me, but I can see where I'm headed. And I just thought of the words, this is my Godward gaze. This is what God gives to us, is this picture, and He says, here's where you are. You've got these parameters around you. This is what I have for you. But I've also got a little picture of where you're going. But as you're looking back, you can remember that I've taken care of you all this time before this. So take that home if you want. Next time you look in your backup mirror, think about that Godward gaze. Everything's taken care of for our salvation and for our life. God says, come to me, I will give you rest. It starts with salvation. And once we have peace with God, we can have the peace of God for eternity. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, how I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the wonderful teaching of your word. I thank you most of all for the salvation you provide, because without that, all of us are destined for an eternity that we don't want. Lord, if there's anyone here today, I pray that that heart will, that doesn't know you, I pray that that heart will be laden with guilt. The guilt that brings us to you, to where we can rest in you and we can have peace with you. I pray that you will go with us throughout the rest of this day and this week, that our lives will have a Godward gaze that looks forward to pleasing you and serving you. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen.